Hi, everyone. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. It's really a great one. It's one of my favorites. Before we start, though, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, DT's Digital Marketing Service. Their owner, Darren, is awesome. So if you're looking for someone with paid to help you with paid social media marketing, any digital marketing services, he's your guy. You can reach out for a consult at DT'sDigitalMarketingService.com and reach out to Darren. Tell him we sent you. Enjoy the episode.
My name is Darren Thomas. I'm the owner of DT's Digital Marketing Services. DT's Digital Marketing Services is an all-encompassing digital marketing agency. We do everything from paid media ads. We also build out websites and landing pages. Our whole business is to drive conversions and leads and traffic to your website and to your business. So what led me to start this company was that people were coming to me, they're looking for ways to get the word out for their business, to market their services, and they didn't have the time to do that, right? They didn't have the time to invest into building ads, building campaigns, building websites. So I created DT's Digital Marketing to assist my clients and business owners with those projects. Some of the services we provide are website implementation, that's from design to the back end, coding of the site. We also provide reporting services on data analytics from your site. We also provide basic SEO, which is search engine optimization. We provide paid media services as well, where we create campaigns from scratch on channels such as Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Search, Google Display, YouTube, and also programmatic media. So if you guys have different campaigns you'd like to run on Hulu and all the different streaming channels, we can work towards building campaigns for that and also tracking traffic on that end. Once we have our initial conversation is a free consultation. We go on to the strategy phase where I suggest, okay, here's where we either build your site, we build campaigns for you on Facebook, we build campaigns for you on search, I develop a media plan for you, and where month to month, you'll see how much it would cost to run these campaigns on certain platforms, how much it would cost to build your website. Then we get the show on the road with grabbing all your credentials. I will then implement the campaign and the ads on your behalf, as well as implementing tracking. For more information about my services, you can visit DTSDigitalMarketingServices.com. If you're struggling with your digital marketing and you're not really sure where to start, I'm here to help.
Therapy is a safe space. Space for us both to grow. Mm.
There's nothing that empowers me more with our community than just being who I am.
Yeah. Hope everybody's doing good. We want to talk about beyond the couch. So in our last episode, we talked about being on the couch. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, we're going to talk about beyond the couch. And this is going to be good because this is where the work, you know, the hard part. Mm-hmm. So as you guys know, if you've been following us from episode one to this one, we talk about so many different topics. But at the end of the day, we encourage and we promote therapy. And a lot of you all probably be like, all right, cool. So let me start therapy. And you might think that that's the final destination, like as we may all. But as we talked about in the previous episode about, you know, when you have a broken leg and all that, you have a treatment plan. And that's the same thing with therapy. So let's talk about our experience with our clients and them doing the work beyond the couch. How do y'all see that play out in your practice?
It's challenging, you know, and I think it's challenging on two levels. A lot of people, when they come to therapy, and I think maybe our third episode or second episode, we talked about what therapy is and what it isn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So please check that episode out if you haven't. But I think a lot of people come into this space with altered intentions that may not be realistic. Mm-hmm. So coming in, complaining about another person, which we know we can't control other people or mm-hmm. a system or something like that, and not realizing that regardless of if they were wronged or if there was a traumatic experience that they had, that this is about you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, how you react to things or how you don't want to react to things. So I find that a lot of my clients really do struggle with whatever they need to do outside of our 53 to 60 minutes together once a week. And there's some things that may contribute to that, like timing, right? Like, what do they have time, or do they make time to sit in whatever they're going through and really do the work outside of therapy? But it's very challenging to motivate people to do things outside of therapy.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's also, what are they gaining from staying in that mode, right? We talk about like secondary gain in EMDR. Like, what are you gaining from staying sick? What are you gaining from staying angry? What are you gaining from holding on to this trauma, right? So I'm always curious as to like, what are you guys, what are they gaining from not doing the work, right? If I'm giving you the books and everything else and you're complaining about everything and you're coming to the sessions and all your sessions are the same, I'm going to ask you, like, what are you gaining from this repetitiveness?
That's fair.
Because you keep looking for it. I'm not here to keep telling you everything to do and how to cope with this moment or validate every moment. It's for you to be able to get out of that loop yourself. And I'm the guide. So you got to figure that out. Like, when are you going to take the leap to step outside of it? I can only give you so much awareness.
Yeah. And I think that that's what makes a great clinician, right? Because sometimes for our clients, just showing up is all they have. Right. And it's our role to provide that space for some time. Now there's a deadline.
And
I'm not saying that there is a deadline in the textbook or it says 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, but a well-rounded clinician knows when it's time to do the work, right? And sometimes doing the work has dimensions. And like I said, sometimes it's just showing up. Right. So that can be dimension one. I'm here every Tuesday at 3:30 and I have my journal. Ain't nothing written in it. Nothing written in it, y'all, but I'm here. And sometimes that's all they have. And I think, again, a good clinician will absorb that and observe that and be the guide, as you mentioned, to start to incorporate some responsibility.
1,000%, which goes back to rapport building and relationships. So we always talk about in social work, like meeting a client where they are. And I think as you build rapport with clients, just like any other relationship that we have, we understand someone's intention. So not everybody is coming trying to waste your time. And if you're not aware as a clinician, or you're not a good clinician, you may move prematurely. Right. And then, you know, indirectly harm this therapeutic relationship. So, you know, I think just regarding the human experience, there's stages, right? We talk about stages of change. So some people may come, you know, when they're contemplating changing their behaviors, or they're pre-contemplative, or they're ready to change, or they're at the maintenance stage, whatever, like all of those clinical terms that we know. But the reality is, like, we can't expect everyone to come on day one or day 30 ready. But to your point, it's at some point, things are no longer therapeutic if we're still in the same space. I'm now being I'm like a leech, right? Like, I'm enabling this behavior. So I like the fact that you talked about like being a good clinician and knowing when your client, based off rapport and relationship, needs to be pushed.
And sometimes, like in the stages of change, sometimes your job is just to bring them to one stage, not to get them through the other ones. And it's understanding that too. Like, okay, you came in pre-contemplation when you were with me, but now you're at least contemplating and you're a little aware. But that's all I can take you to, right? And maybe we've been, it took like a year or two for us to even get to that. So now if we're doing the same work and it's not working, right? I'm trying different avenues and the math ain't mathing. After a while, it's the dynamic. I got to move you on to someone else. I have to be the clinician to be like, hey, maybe my skills and what I have isn't sufficient enough to take you to that next step. But here are some good people that I trust that I think can help you get to that step.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, usually when you do that, clients either tighten up, because they ain't trying to switch.
Are you breaking up with me? Clients love saying that. Yeah.
They're quick to tighten up like and like get to the next stage, or they'll be
so true.
Some of them will just be like, oh, well, you're breaking up with me, so then I'm not going to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Or there's some that's like, okay, you know what? I will go to that person for the next stage, but then if I feel like I'm at a different stage and I want you back, I'll come back to you. Absolutely. So it's getting to that. It depends on the client, the personality and everything else, but sometimes we got to do that.
Mm-hmm. And all of that is therapeutic, right? Mm-hmm. All of that is data, mm-hmm. right? Whether you have this fear complex of like, oh, you're breaking up with me, that's data. Mm-hmm. That means we got some work to do. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's like, you know what? You're right. And I can accept that recommendation and I can try something different. That's data.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, it's just everything is just, if you pay attention to it, it's just so rich and informative. Mm-hmm. Are you going to say something?
No, that just it's that part is always funny to me because I have so many clients that's like, I just feel like you're trying to, I'm not trying to do anything, mm-mm. you know, and it is data. And I think that it just goes back to behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. And how we interact with others. And I think the other thing, too, when it comes to clients doing the work outside of therapy or beyond the couch, mm-hmm. is going back to like, how serious are they about their healing journey? And again, as a therapist, understanding that this is not personal, mm-hmm. whether they did their homework mm-hmm. or not, mm-hmm. or they're doing the work outside of therapy, like me not internalizing, it has nothing mm-hmm. to do with if I'm a great therapist or if I'm not a great therapist,
right. mm-hmm.
like that's independent of me. And I think that goes back to being a good clinician too.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. For sure. And you know, I think it's important to realize that like, sometimes the client's day to day shows up on the couch.
Right.
Right. So this resistance and this hesitation and this, I didn't do my homework. I was going to do it on this time, but then this happened and that happened. That stuff showing up on the couch is showing up at home. Mm-hmm. That stuff showing up on the couch is showing up at work. It's not always the boss. It's not always your coworker. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, and that's, again, going back to the episode before this one, mm-hmm. sitting in this chair, mm-hmm. sometimes you get those realizations that, like, the same behavior is mirrored in them 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And we got to call them out on it. And then it's, again, whether or not they want to accept that accountability. Because I'm always like, well, what's your role in it? What's your role in it? How did you, because it takes two for any disagreement, anything, it takes two. Mm-hmm. So what was your role that led to this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for clients to even want to see that because they don't want to accept accountability. They don't want to admit that it's that ego, right? It's that pride that we always mm-hmm. talk about. Like, they don't want to admit like, okay, I did something wrong.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you could have misstepped. Not I'm not saying that you're all the way wrong, but you could have had some steps where you could have handled it better to change the dynamic of the conversation. But this person was also wrong. So mm-hmm. own your role. So that way you're being aware, that way you're knowing how to change those responses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure. So how do y'all encourage your clients to do the work? Like, What type of modalities or verbiage, like, what do you do to encourage your clients?
One thing that I've been trying to do more of, more so recently over the past couple months, is going back to old notes.
Okay.
And reading them. You know, once I see a pattern.
Okay.
I tell clients a lot, and I use this analogy when I am helping them with conflict resolution, mm-hmm. that as a therapist, oftentimes I have to go through the back door to get to the front door.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, everything's okay. You're great. We can work on this, but you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, that sandwich kind of compliment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I'm seeing a pattern that they may not be aware of, mm-hmm. right. 'Cause it's still compassion and empathy and sure. not being judgmental. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what, Trina, in preparation for today's session, you know, I was kind of going through and kind of, you know, reflecting on how long we've been working together, and something stood out to me. Is it okay if I, you know, read some mm-hmm. of these things that we talked about? And Trina may say, yeah, no problem. Like, you know, we're in September now, and back in January, I remember kind of the headspace you were in, and I wrote some of your quotes, and you said X, Y, and Z. Mm. And over the past couple weeks, you've shared those same comments and thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about it? Because all my clients are super educated.
Yeah.
They know all the diagnoses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They know what's wrong with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know why I'm the therapist because they're so great. Right. Like, they can psychoanalyze themselves. Come on, yeah. I'm not.
Because you are a great therapist.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right? So I'm not going to insult your intelligence because you clearly, you know all of the reasonings why mm-hmm. you're behaving the way that you are. So let me ask you, what do you make of this? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I try to kind of go that angle, and typically it works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I go based off of their personality. If they're, depending on their personality, I'll be more direct. Depending on if I know they're like more dysregulated, I'll be more like, it's direct, but more softer. Like, hey, you've been saying that you're going to do this homework and you're going to read for the past 3 weeks now. And you're saying that you're struggling with your anxiety, but you're not doing any homework. Like, at some point in time, we're going to have to face that, right? Yeah. At some point in time, you're going to have to push yourself. It's not about, oh, when I feel like doing it, or today I said I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. It's just about doing it. And if you don't push yourself past that, then I can't push you past that.
Yeah.
Right? So it's being able to let them see, like, we're going to keep being stuck. And I'm always big on telling clients, like, bro, don't waste your money on me. Like, I do not do it. Obviously, I want to make a living, but I don't waste clients' time and waste clients' money, right? I have, like, a EAP program that I'm with, and clients get, like, a limited amount of sessions. And some of them will want to, like, schedule the first session with me right away. And I'll be like, let's do a consult. Let's see if I like you. Let's see if you like me. Like, I'm not trying to waste the limited resources that you do have, mm-hmm. right, so that you can get the help that you need. So sometimes it's just the approach and how you kind of make them face it and see that window and just going from there.
Awesome. Yeah. And in addition to what y'all said, what I've found to be very helpful is honesty. I'm very honest with my clients, and I'll say something like, kind of as Shara stated, I looked over our notes and looked over some of your chief complaints, and I noticed that there hasn't been much growth, and I'm starting to get a bit concerned. From the standpoint of knowing if I'm helpful for your journey, right? I think that maybe I have gotten you to the space that I can assist with, and perhaps a higher level of care, or someone who specializes in something, or even group therapy. You know, I'll list out different things, but I'll be honest with my clients, and sometimes I'll even say, like, you know, sometimes I get a little frustrated because I notice that some of the things that I'm recommending, you're not gravitating towards them, and I want to see you better. You know, and when I'm honest with them and I'm very transparent, sometimes that helps my clients either say, yo, you know what? It's me. You're right. Mm-hmm. I got a tool. My toolbox is busting open, running over the floor, and I'm not using anything. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Miss Green, you're right. And I need to get back on it. What's the tools again? Because, you know, honestly, I forgot them. You know, so it can go one or two ways, but I think that honesty and sometimes being transparent and saying, I'm frustrated just like you. I know you got to be frustrated that when you go home, you're still impulsive. When you go home, you're still responding to texts. You know, I know that that's probably frustrating for you because you tell me in session, like, I know I shouldn't have done this, but here's what I did. Mm-hmm. So that honesty seems to be very helpful.
Kind of side note, but still related. One thing that I realize about being a therapist and having these difficult conversations, because as we have relationships, we have to, is it forces me to be assertive.
Yes.
It forces me, regardless of that little girl in me that may or may not like it, it forces me because if I'm not assertive, I'm not being beneficial to my clients. Whether it's clients that relate to me because we may be in the same age range, or we may they may be a Black woman and I'm a Black woman, or we may both be Caribbean, or they may be familiar with me because they're older or whatever. There's dynamics that we can't take away, even as a therapist. And I think sometimes clients can become complacent because of just who I am.
Right.
And our dynamic and how close it may feel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I then have to be assertive. And honestly, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, for me personally, I can't speak for every therapist or for you all, but it's important. Another way that I motivate them is, Tashara, you have to be assertive. Mm-hmm. This is not personal. It's professional. Mm-hmm. Right. At the end of the day, there are modalities that we're trained mm-hmm. on and things that are evidence-based that work.
Correct.
So we do have a certain level of structure that we have to follow. Mm-hmm. And if a client is not getting better by certain metrics, then as a clinician, mm-hmm. I am responsible for referring you out to mm-hmm. a higher level of care mm-hmm. or to another provider. So, you know, I know a lot of clients may feel like it's personal and that's their little boy or girl that's kind of responding to, but mm-hmm. the reality is, if I'm a good clinician, it doesn't matter if I like you or not. Yeah. I'm obligated to provide you with a service, and if I can't, I'm obligated to be honest with you and direct mm-hmm. and assertive, like mm-hmm. you know, this isn't working and here are some mm-hmm. other resources that can better right. assist you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's harming them, right? We yeah. our job is absolutely to do no harm. So if my job is to do no harm and it's to protect you, that's me protecting you, referring you out, telling you things directly, being honest with you, all of that is me doing no harm. And I think obviously it's definitely how we approach it depending on the client, but sometimes we have to make those difficult decisions because, let's face it, they come to us because they're struggling to make difficult decisions. So we got to make the difficult decision for them sometimes. And it's just That's about fair. Them coping through it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, for sure. It's super hard. And I think it holds us to a level of accountability, mm-hmm. right? It keeps us on the straight and narrow, as we talked about in like episode 2 or 3, that like sometimes it can feel like a friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, and we talked about how those emotions that they feel, mm-hmm. we can also feel.
1,000%.
So for sure, for sure. How do y'all know when it's time to like really go to like termination or referring clients out? Like, what is the indicator?
If I'm going to the session irritated.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Sometimes, or I'm like already going to the session feeling like defeated. Like, I, like, again, body work, right? If I feel that, like, all right, okay, I got this person today. Like, nah, yeah, I should not be rocking with you. Like, yep. and it's the best way possible, because that means I'm not even 100% for you. Like, I'm only showing up like 50% and giving you 50% of that energy. And it's, again, it's difficult to do and difficult to recognize because we want to help everyone. But if I'm feeling that way, it's time to do something different.
Yeah. Outside of, you know, all the things we were supposed to do, like I have a treatment plan and edited and all the book stuff that don't necessarily translate into practice, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. For me, thinking about clients' behavior, when my clients who were very ambitious and driven, mm-hmm. once they start to waver, so like almost like I'm chasing them to come to therapy, mm-hmm. they start missing mm-hmm. appointments, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they come in and they're like, I don't really have much to talk about. Okay.
Yeah.
You say there's a chief complaint and we talk about a treatment plan, but I'm not here to force you because it's all elective. We are all mm-hmm. private practice providers, so we're not working in a program or anything that's court ordered or anything like that. You come, you seek us out. You know, this is something that you desire. Mm-hmm. So once I start seeing those behaviors, then I'll address it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think we can have compassion fatigue and all those things.
Yeah.
Therapy is draining. You're talking mm-hmm. about emotions and mm-hmm. doing the hard work. And sometimes mm-hmm. we may need a break. And so once I start seeing those behaviors change, I'm like, yep, mm-hmm. it's time. Mm-hmm. And I have a conversation with them like, yo, basically in layman's terms, like I noticed these changes and that's okay. I'm not judging. I'm just identifying something. And typically this is how I know that it's time for us mm-hmm. to start, you know, weaning back
for sure.
and cutting back.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. 100%.
Awesome. I appreciate you all being vulnerable and open about like what goes on y'all couch, right? Because mm-hmm. we all, you know, went to school and had these degrees and stuff, but it's really refreshing to hear you all talk about like how you experience it. Mm-hmm. And I would like to conclude this episode talking about how do we do the work beyond the couch, right? Because we disclose we're in therapy. So what does it look like for you, Kima, for you, Tashara, and for you, girl, to do the work beyond the couch?
So go ahead and start.
Cool. All right. Well, for me, my therapist does a lot of internal family systems, And with that, she has me spend a lot of time with my little girl and also pulling on the healthy resources of my ancestors. So what that looks like is having my session and then doing the homework, spending some time engaging, whether that's coloring, going to the park, or as Kima mentioned, that body check, like checking my body, like, okay, you feeling a little anxious, little Trina, what do you need? It takes a lot of my work is talking to little Trina, figuring out what that little girl need, because she be going crazy sometimes. So awareness, constant awareness, and a thirst to just be better.
Yeah. My main way of doing the work outside of the couch, beyond the couch, is the way that I interact with family. They're my biggest trigger. So that's what keeps me on my toes. If I'm feeling guilty about setting a boundary or not setting a boundary, or a family member contacts me or does something and I feel the part of me that I don't like coming out, I'm like, okay, what's that about? I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts, reading audiobooks a lot of time. So those are some of the ways that I actively work on self-development. I prioritize those. I have podcasts that I listen to weekly. They come out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I love like Nedja Tawab and some other therapists in their books. So that's what I do.
Nice. Reading is big. I'm more of an audiobook person. So sometimes even when I'm doing my wind down routine, I'll have the audiobook going in the background and like listening to that. That's a lot of the work that I do. And also just boundaries with myself. If I don't show up for me, who gonna show up for me? If I don't do the work for me, who's gonna do the work for me, right? And my therapist is very much so me, personality wise. Like I always say, like, I'm grateful I found like the white me, because it's literally like a mirror. Because sometimes I'll say things. I remember there was a session and I was like trying to convince her or convince myself that whatever I was trying to do was right. And I said it out loud to her and she just gave me this look like, really? And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. That's me. It's me. Like immediately after I said it and I looked at her face, I immediately was like, nah, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Yeah. It's me. And she was like, okay, cool, because I'm not even going to address that. Like you tried it and I, like, you know, that don't even sound right. So it's just kind of a lot of being honest with myself. The same way I'm like strict and honest with other people, I need to give that to myself.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of how I do the work with myself. Like when I'm having a bad day, it's like, okay, are you really having a bad day? Or are you just like obsessing on these thoughts and you're choosing this? Mm-hmm. Right. Are you choosing to be sad today? Are you choosing to be anxious today? Or is it just an anxious day? Right. So body work, reflecting. Mm-hmm. And I journal every day for 1 minute.
Nice.
1 minute, just let my thoughts flow. So whatever thought comes on paper, it don't make sense, all that, just wherever that minute stops, it stops. And I think that helps a lot too, with just giving me the ability to reflect, because I'm emptying out all the trash.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate y'all.
Yes.
We appreciate y'all too for watching.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and soon we'll be on TikTok. That's the one. Yes. Ooh, I'm getting old. Can't remember all of these. Right. Like, gotta remember all of these new things. So follow us. Don't forget. Thanks for tuning in. See y'all later.
My name is Darren Thomas. I'm the owner of DT's Digital Marketing Services. DT's Digital Marketing Services is an all-encompassing digital marketing agency. We do everything from paid media ads. We also build out websites and landing pages. Our whole business is to drive conversions and leads and traffic to your website and to your business.